All right, tonight, if you would, open your Bibles to the book of John, chapter number 10. The book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter number 10. And we'll be looking at one particular verse, but I'm going to read quite a few verses to get the whole content here of the message. This is the discourse, or this is the teaching that Jesus gives to his disciples about the Good Shepherd. And of course we know that the Lord is that Shepherd that takes care of us and leads us and guides us and helps us along the walk of life. And he related those things to his disciples, and we have it recorded to us by the Apostle John. So therefore these are words not only to them, but these are words to you and I, that we can know that the Lord speaks to us the same way. I want to read beginning in verse number 1, and we'll read down through verse number 16. But we're just going to key in on one particular verse tonight. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. And he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep, and all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door, and by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and shall be one fold and one shepherd. That's reading through verse number 16. In these verses tonight, Jesus gives them a parable, and then he explains the parable to them, as he so often does, and the disciples did not understand really what he was talking about when he was talking about the door and the sheep and the sheepfold and the thieves and the murders and the killings and the hireling. They really didn't understand all of that until he told them, I am the door, and by me if any enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. And he says, then the thief comes. He comes for one purpose, and that's to destroy the sheep. Now, the thief comes in to maim and to kill, and he uses these different words to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus says, I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Everything that the thief would do, Jesus Christ would undo. Everything that the Lord would do, they would try. The thieves would try to destroy the sheepfold and try to destroy and steal out the sheep from the pasture or from the sheepfold. And so here the Lord gives the understanding that he is the good shepherd. David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And all through the scriptures we find David talking about the sheep and the shepherd. Of course, he was a shepherd himself. He understood what it meant to take care of sheep, but he said, "The Lord's my shepherd, and he's the one that takes care of me." And the Lord now comes into the New Testament. He says, I'm the shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. And later on, we are told that he is also the great shepherd. And so tonight I want us to consider, I know these verses are about the good shepherd, but I want us to look one facet of this good shepherd, of what he is. Now, the Lord presents himself a lot of different ways in the scriptures. He's the bread of life. He's the water of life. He's all the different things that are given to us in the Bible that the Lord fulfills. But tonight, he tells us in verse number 9, he said, "I am the door." Now, there's one door and only one. We that believe the Word of God, we understand that Jesus Christ is the only way to God, and he's the only way to heaven. Now, the world in which we live and the society that's around us, they don't necessarily like that particular thought or that idea. They want to have their own way to heaven. They want to have their own means and their own deeds and their own ways of life. And when everybody comes to the end of life, everybody goes to heaven because they've chosen their own way and they're satisfied with that, and that's okay. Well, that's a lie of the devil himself, because they are not okay. It doesn't matter what they have chosen. If they have not chosen and recognized that Jesus is the door, he's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. And he said himself, "No man comes to the Father except through me." And so it doesn't matter what society tells us, doesn't matter what religion tells us. Religion has religion has a lot of different ways to get to heaven. They have their forms and their fashions. They have their formal ideas and ways. They have their, what they call their traditions. The Bible calls it the traditions of men that have become really doctrines of certain churches. There's a lot of different ways that people will tell you this is the way you go to heaven. But I'm glad we have a Bible tonight that tells us how to go to heaven. And that is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus says here, as the good shepherd, he said, "I am the door." And so I want us to look, and we'll look just at verse number 9, break that down a little bit, and note some things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And religion tells us a lot of things, but I'm glad we have a Redeemer that tells us the truth. It's not what we can attain in our life. It's not how many good deeds that we do, and our good deeds possibly, hopefully, will outweigh our bad deeds, and that would not happen because all of our righteousness are as filthy rags, and so therefore the balance scale of balance is weighted against us to begin with. And so it's not what we can attain. It's not what good social deeds that we can do and how many things that the communities that are around us that think we're doing well, that's not how we go to heaven. It's not what we attain, but it's the atonement or the taking away of our sins by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's even in our our passage tonight tells us, he says, a shepherd will lay down his life for his sheep. And we have that recorded to us in every gospel that Jesus died for the world. And so it's not what we attain. It's not what we claim. There's a lot of people claim to be certain things. A lot of people claim to be Christians, but their life doesn't show it. Their deeds do not show that. So it's not what we claim, but it's what the Lord did for us and what he continues to do for us. It's not how we serve the Lord, but it's how the Lord serves us and gives to us. And so I want us to look here tonight, verse number 9. Let's read the verse together. And then we'll look at it just a portion at a time. "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Now, here in the very beginning of this verse, the Lord presents himself a particular way. Here's the presentation of Christ. He says, "I am the door." Now, door is used for a lot of different things. A door is used to be locked to keep people out. It is open to let you go in and out and be able to do what you desire to do. And so here we find Jesus said, I'm the door, or I'm the entrance into this sheepfold. And that sheepfold represents the protection of of the shepherd. And so he says, here's the entrance. Here's the way in. You know, you've gone to different places and you wonder, which door should I go to? Which door leads me to the place I want to go? I despise to go to hospitals, to different hospitals that you don't know about, because there's doors everywhere. And you're not sure where you're going. You're not sure which direction you're going. But it's always good to see a sign up there, information. That's the door I need to go through. That's the place I need to be in. And so here the Lord says, here's your entrance, here's your way in, and here's the way that you have of being able to enter in. And so the Lord here presents himself as the door, the entrance, and then also you and I, we can experience the joy and the rejoicing of knowing that when I go through this door, there's something on the other side of the door that's going to be good for me. There's something on the other side that's going to help me, and we can rejoice in the good things of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I'm the way. Thank God, across top of a door, he says, whosoever will, let him come. And we go through that door, and on the other side of the door of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have rejoicing. We have the joy of salvation, the joy of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ in a very personal way. I hear a lot of people talking about the Lord, but I'm not sure they really know the Lord. Now, I know about a lot of people, but I don't know but just a few people. I know about certain things, about different names, and I may know some people that have starred in movies. I may know about them, but I don't know them. I may know about the governor, but I don't know our governor. I've never met him. We know about a lot of people, but we only have knowledge of those whom we really know. And the Lord says, if you go through the door, you're going to have some knowledge, that you will have an understanding of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Now, the door is an entrance, but it's also a way of closure. It's an entrance, a way of going in, but it's also a way that we can be stopped. Now, if you go on the other side of that door, you're not going to get in, because there's no handle out there, there's no knob out there, and when it is shut, it is shut. The only way you can get in from that door, somebody pushed the bar on it and opened it up so you can come in. So it's not only an entrance way, but it's a stoppage. It's a place where exclusion comes in. You're no longer able to go in. The Bible says that the Lord shut the door to the ark, and people on the other side could not enter into the ark because the door was shut. Now, the door had been open, thank God, tonight. The door of salvation, the door of grace, the door of mercy is open to whosoever. And the door is given that we might enter in into the fold of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's a day coming when that door will be closed also. There's a day coming when men shall no longer hear the gospel and no longer become a child of God. There's a day coming when eternity is upon us and people die the way they live. They die in their sin. They die without God. The door is shut and it's all over. And so a door is a wonderful thing, but it's also a thing of exclusion. Have you ever gone somewhere, you're right on the minute, and you say, I think I'll get there on time. You go to the door and you can't get in. That door locked excludes you from being in that particular place where you're going until the right time for it to open up. And so Jesus presents himself as the door and entrance into. I'm glad one day I heard the gospel. I'm glad one day I heard the message over and over and over again. I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. But there was one day I went through the door. There was one day I went through and entered into the blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ. The door was open. I believe sometimes the door can be closed to us because of our unrighteousness and our unwillingness and our unbelief. And sometimes the Lord no longer deals with people. And when that happens, that's a bad state to be in, because we know the scripture says no man comes to the Father except he be drawn of the Holy Spirit. And so we find here the Lord presents himself. He's talking to his disciples. He said, I am the door. He's already given that to them in one of the verses before, he says, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and they will not follow the stranger. And so he presents himself as an entranceway into protection and into safety. I am the door. Not only that, we see the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm so glad tonight that I can say that salvation is one way. There's only one way to go to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ himself. And he says here in this passage, by me. He didn't look at John. He didn't look at the other disciples. He said, I'm the door, and by me. I am the door, and by me you will enter in. And so he's the keeper. He's the one that has the ability. He's the one that has the authority. He's the one that has all powers given unto him, heaven and hell. And so therefore, by him we have entrance in through this door. We're drawn by the Spirit of the Lord. He's the kinsman that has the right to redeem. You can read the book of Ruth. We've studied that many times. And Boaz was a near kinsman my mind's gone. What's her name? Naomi. There's the name I was looking for. Boaz was a near kinsman to Naomi. But there was one nearer. There was one closer kin. We would think of it maybe as a third cousin, first cousin, being closer. And Boaz is out here in a distance, and he has the desire, he has the ability, but he can't do it until he finds out about the near kinsman. And he says, I'm not willing to redeem Naomi. I'm not willing to take her into my family. And that opens up the way for Boaz, that had the ability, had the authority, had the power, had the desire to redeem Naomi and Ruth and put them into his family and become a part of his family. And he had the right to do that by law. Well, Jesus Christ is our near kinsman. He has the right. He has the authority. He has the desire. He has the ability to bring anybody into his fold that will go through the door by me. If any man comes, I am the door, by me, the keeper of the law. He kept every jot and tittle of the law. He fulfilled the law. He didn't do away with all the law. He didn't do away with the part of the law concerning thou shalt and thou shalt not, but he did away with some of the ceremonial part of the law because he fulfilled that himself. And so he has the ability to say, by me, I'm the keeper. I kept the law. I fulfill the law. I'm a kinsman that has the right and the ability to redeem. And thank God one day he's the king that will come and sit upon his throne, the throne of David, and he will rule this world with a rod of iron, and he has the right to do that. It all comes down to Jesus said, I am the door. Thank God tonight he's the entranceway, and he is the person that by which we can enter. The next three words here in this passage says, if any man, I am the door, by me, if any man, any person, man, woman, boy, girl, here we find the plan that has that the Lord has, by me, if any man. Aren't you glad tonight that the only people that are excluded from the grace of God are those that will not believe? Those that will not trust, those that will not come unto the Lord Jesus Christ. I've talked to a lot of people that have a lot of different ideas about salvation and the ins and outs and the details of the Scripture, and they have a lot of things that I agree with, maybe a lot of things I don't agree with, but I find that everybody comes to the conclusion, I'm talking about at least fundamental people, that a person only goes to heaven if they accept the gospel and accept the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, if any man, if any person will come, he said, here's the plan. And I'm so glad, thank God, it's a whosoever will gospel. Whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. I had one of our former students the other day contact me, and he said, we just, in our Bible class, he's going to a Bible college that they're not Baptist, they're a little different breed, and And they don't believe everything like we do, and we don't believe everything like they do. But he said, I've been, in our Bible class, we've been studying certain different things about Baptist people. He said, I want to know where you are. I said, I'm right where I've always been. I'm in Madisonville, Kentucky. And he had some questions, and I said, now you have to realize that Baptists are about like Heinz 57 variety of ketchup. We're all different. And everybody has their own little way of explaining certain things. And I went through some things with him, and he said, I'm surprised we agree so much. Well, if you study the Scripture, you will agree on the major things of the Word of God. If you study the Word of God, He doesn't lead you four or five different directions. And Jesus said here, if any man come, let him. And so it's whosoever will, the gospel is presented, and the Holy Spirit is the one that calls. He touches the heart of an individual. I've had people tell me that regeneration happens before salvation. I sort of think it's simultaneously the same thing takes place, and the Lord regenerates us. He makes us a new creature in Christ Jesus, and He gives us life, and He gives us liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit calls and knocks on our door and presents the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the Holy Spirit that will tell an individual that's lost, you need Christ. The Holy Spirit will never tell you that you need the Holy Spirit. You need Christ. You need the Lord. You need salvation. And so the Spirit calls and convicts and finally converts an individual in this thing we call salvation. And Jesus said, I am the door. I'm the entrance way. And He says, it's only by Me, no other way. And if any man will come, just any person, red, yellow, black, white, speak English, speak Spanish, speak French, speak Puerto Rican, speak the different languages of the world, He is still the door to salvation. He is the same to all people, and the Holy Spirit calls and convicts the sinner, and if he will but believe, He will convert him and make him a new creature in Christ Jesus, and we will receive, whoever we are, any man, any person, we will receive pardon, cleansing, and eternal life. That's so simple, that's so easy. All of that is found here in verse number 9 of John chapter 10. I am the door, that's the presentation of Christ. By Me, that's the person of Christ. If any man, that's the plan that He has for all to come that will enter in unto the door. And He says those next two words, enter in. I'm the door. The purpose of the door is that you might enter in. The purpose of the door to the ark was that as Noah built the ark, he preached the righteousness of God. There's a wicked world in which they lived. Genesis chapter 6 tells us a very wicked world, a very ungodly world. And God says, my mercy is over. I'm going to bring judgment upon this world. He says, you build an ark and you tell them to come in. Enter in. I believe any person that would have entered in there in Noah's day could have come across safely on the other side because the ark represented the Lord Jesus Christ. The door represented the Lord Jesus Christ. The window that was in it represented the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything about the ark was a picture of our Lord. And here in the New Testament, Jesus said, if any man enter in, there's the purpose. The door is there, and the reason for it is that you might go in. The purpose is not to shut you out. The door is open. You come to the book of Revelation, you find the Lord knocking on the door of the church and says, and He finds the door shut, and they would not let Him in. And so we find that Jesus says the purpose of this door is that you might go through it. The reason we put doors in our houses, front door, side door, back doors, that we can get in from different directions or also can get out if problems arise. And so Jesus says here that you can enter in and have safety from the pursuit and capture of the evil one, the wicked one. I'm glad I have safety and security in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have it in me. I don't have it in my works. And I certainly don't have it in anybody else. I don't trust the politicians. I don't trust the people around us. Only one we can trust is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, if you enter in, I'll give you safety. I'll give you security from the pursuit of the wicked one, the evil one that's after you. And thank God we can have security from enslavement. No longer are we bound by the enslavement of ourself. And we do not have to have enslavement by the wicked one. We have security from that because we enter in. If we stay on the outside, we're going to die like they did in Noah's day. If you stay on the outside of the door, if you stay on the outside of the ark, Jesus is that ark, He is that door, He is that entranceway. If you stay on the outside of that, then one day destruction will come. But when you enter in, sin's power of destruction is broken eternally. Don't have to worry about it anymore. Now, we may have a lot of worries tonight, and a lot of problems may come our way. But if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've entered in through that door, you don't have to worry about eternity. Thank God for that. Don't have to worry about the devil ever defeating and destroying and dragging you down to hell where he wants you to go, because we have that sin's power has been broken. We have eternity, we have life, and all we have to do is enter in. And you tonight that are sitting here, I'm sure all of us have the testimony that we have entered in. We've gone through the door. We've understood those things about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the next little phrase here on this passage is, he shall be saved. That's the promise of Christ. Couldn't have a better promiser than the Lord. He lies not. He tells truth. And he said, now, I'm the door, and if you enter in, you're going to be saved. He didn't say maybe. He didn't say hope so. He didn't say, now you'll be saved after you go through the baptismal waters. He didn't say you'd be saved after you endured to the end. He didn't say you'd be saved if you did more good than bad. He said, if you enter in, you shall be saved. Very simple passage of Scripture. That's the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. Saved from what? Saved from sin. Saved from the penalty. And I thank God one day, and from the very presence of sin, it'll no longer be before us. But right now, we are saved from our sins. We are saved from ourself. We are saved from Satan. We are saved because we've entered in through the door of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can be sure of a shepherd. He is my shepherd. He's a good shepherd. And this is the discourse or the teaching that Jesus gave his disciples, that he was the good shepherd, willing to lay down his life. Now, he compares a good shepherd to a hireling shepherd. Now, they both maybe look the same. They both maybe had the same ways of life, and they probably had the same conversations. They probably did the same thing as they maybe sat around there in the sheepfold and discussed the day and discussed the week and all the problems they had. And all the shepherds are there. Some of them are not real shepherds, though. They look okay, they sound okay, but actions are going to prove different when a problem comes. The Scripture calls those people hirelings. They are just in it for what they can get. Another name the Scripture gives for those type of people are called hypocrites. They look good, they act okay, but when the problems arise and when difficulties come, when the rubber meets the road, then their true colors shine forth. And Jesus talks about these hirelings. He says, but he that is an hireling and not the shepherd. He may look like a shepherd, but he's really not a shepherd. He that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming. What does he do? He leaves the sheep. He leaves them to their self. And when you leave a sheep to themselves with a pack of wolves or even one wolf, those sheep are going to die. They have no defenses. They have no way of defending themselves. They are just poor, dumb sheep. And the hireling sees the wolves come and He becomes afraid, and he's afraid he might get into trouble, afraid he might get attacked. And so he leaves the sheep and he flees. He's not a shepherd. What did Jesus say about the shepherd? The shepherd laid down his life. And those sheep are his life, and he would lay down his life. He would fight to the very end for those sheep that were his. Why? Because they knew who he was. They knew him as their shepherd, their leader, their protector. They wouldn't follow the voice of a stranger. They only would follow the voice of their shepherd. I've never been to Israel. I've never seen a sheep farm. I've never been around sheep very little. But I've heard people that went to Israel, they would see the shepherd down in the field, and they say it's amazing how the shepherds of the morning would come out and start talking, and certain sheep would go with that particular shepherd. And another shepherd would start talking and calling his sheep, and here's another group of sheep that come, and they follow him out of the sheepfold. And another shepherd, and another. And every one of them, every sheep that would follow that voice, was a sheep that belonged to that shepherd. That's a pretty good connection between an animal and a person. But a sheep has to depend upon a shepherd. A hireling, he says, here's the wolves, I'm afraid, and I'm going to run, and leaves the sheep totally defenseless, and they die. But Jesus said, a good shepherd will lay down his life for his sheep. And of course, we know the application of that Jesus did that. On the cross of Calvary, he laid down his life. He was the shepherd. He laid down his life for his sheep. Thank God I'm one of them. You're one of them. And Jesus died for us. So when someone comes and goes in through the door, the promise of Christ is that he shall be saved. For he is the shepherd, the great shepherd, that gives us salvation and all his benefits that go with that. Thank the Lord for the benefits of salvation. Now, sixthly tonight, the next phrase says, shall go in and out. Has clear passage. He's not afraid because the shepherd is there. He goes in and out. He's there inside peacefully sleeping, or he goes outside peacefully following his shepherd. He has the protection. He has plenty of food. The sheep has plenty because the shepherd has supplied for them. The shepherd has given to them, and the shepherd has really lay down his life for them every day that he lives. So Jesus said, I'm the door. But not only that, I'm the shepherd. I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. What a wonderful promise that is. The Lord doesn't break his promise. If we enter in, we shall be saved. And then we shall go in and out. And the scripture says that last thing, here's the Lord presenting himself as the one giving us possessions. We shall find pasture. We shall find nourishment. We shall find peace. We will find deliverance from the activities of the world around us. We'll find just a peace of heart and a peace of mind because one day we went through the door. One day we entered in and he promised us life. And now he promises the good things of life. But I'm telling you what, there's more to going through that door than what we get right now. There's a body awaiting you and I. It's called a glorified body. We're going to lay this old earthly vessel down, this hunk of flesh, this clay that the Lord has given to each of us. Who we really are is not what we see. It's the soul of man, the spirit of man. Man is a body, man's a soul, man's a spirit. When a man dies, the scripture says his body goes back to the dust of the earth, awaiting the resurrection. And the Bible tells us in Thessalonians that one day we'll hear the sound of the trump of God and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we that remain will be caught up together with them in the air to ever be with the Lord. We have a better life ahead of us. I, like Brother Gallagher said this morning, I've had a good life. I've had an enjoyable life. I've had a life that was presented and given to me by a a mom and dad that love the Lord and a family that serve God. That makes for a good life. But when we get ready to leave this world, we've got a better life awaiting us. There's a glorified. I don't hardly even know how to explain that. It's a body just like the Lord's, and we're going to be before Him when we raise in the resurrection. It's not going to be this body; it's a new body. Praise the Lord! We shall rise. We'll be with Him. Goodness and mercy shall follow us, and does follow us, as David tells us in Psalm 23. Gladness and happiness are forever with us, not only here, but in eternity, all the joys of the Lord. So the Lord here in this one verse, He really just presents Himself as the Savior. He is the door. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Shall go in and out and find pasture. Every little phrase there presents something about the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us, first of all, who He is. I'm Christ. I'm the Savior. I'm the Deliverer. And I'm the way of life. I'm the door. Tonight, here in just a few moments, we'll have prayer and we'll be dismissed. And we'll go out that door. The door is open to us. It's closed now, and there's no entrance in and out right now. But when we leave here, the door will be opened, and we'll go out of this building, go into the other portion of the building, and then we'll go outside. And next Wednesday and next Sunday, we'll have the doors open, and we'll come in. We're in and out, go in and out. And the Lord says, when you come to me, you just have the freedom, liberty, go in and out, find pasture, find the good things of life that awaits the child of God. If there was no heaven, if there was no eternity, the Christian life is far better than what the world has to offer. I'm glad tonight there is a heaven. I'm glad the Christian life is real. It doesn't matter how much it's bombarded and how much it's tried to be explained away and how many problems are given to us. The Christian life is the greatest life that a person could ever live, because it gives you the greatest way of leaving this world and living forever and forever and forever. I'll die? No, never. Praise the Lord tonight. What we have in Christ is eternal, because He is the door that we can enter. Let's stand tonight, and we'll be dismissed in prayer.